June is long the traditional month for marriages. In fact, it was almost 34 years ago from the taping of this interview when I was married in Norway at a bilingual service in my wife's home church where we said, "Yeah, I do." Right now on Vocal Point, we're going to talk with an author of a new book on marriage called Team Us, Marriage Together. This is a Moody Press book. The author is Ashley Slater. And here's what the release on the book says. When a couple promises "I do," or "yeah, I do," they agree to more than just a shared last name, a joint bank account, and no more dateless nights. This husband and wife duo forms a new team. There at the altar, they exchange the his and hers of their single years for an us. Life together becomes their mantra. Nothing can come between them. At least that's the plan. But then the honeymoon ends and real life sets in. Welcome to Vocal Point, Ashley Slater, to discuss this whole issue. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm glad to be here.
Sure. And give us an idea of this, the whole notion of marriage as a team. Where did this book have its origin in your own life? I mean, what was the catalyst? What made you think, oh, I got to write a book about this someday?
Well, it's interesting. When it comes to my writing, I really write what I know. And so when Moody approached me about writing a book on relationships, I thought, okay, what do I know, what do I have experience in, and what am I passionate about? And I sat back and thought about how grace has had a huge impact in my husband Ted and my relationship, how it's really guided and shaped our interactions over the years. And so that's where it started. And from there, it grew into this idea of, you know, when you have grace for each other, you're rooting for each other, you're working together, and you're a team.
Okay, can you be more specific when you talk about grace?
Yes, grace is the undeserved kindness of God that he's given us. And I often tell my kids, I'm like, you know, why do we love each other and are we kind to each other? And I say, it's because God loved us first and God is kind to each other. So basically, grace in marriage is this understanding that, okay, God has been kind to us and we don't deserve it. So even in those moments in marriage when our spouse is not acting the way that we wish they would, we extend them grace.
Hmm. How long have you been married?
I've been married 11 and a half years.
And what would you say was the biggest adjustment for you and your husband, Ted?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, he was older when we got married. We actually have a 12-year age difference.
Wow.
So I think...
Cradle rocker.
Yeah.
You haven't even... it's funny because 11 and a half years, you've been married, and he's 12 years older. That's interesting. Okay, go on.
Yeah, that is interesting. So I think in some respects it was really just for him having to learn to adjust patterns that he had developed over the years because he had been single for so long. He was in his, I think he was 36 when we got married.
Wow.
So just having to figure out how to take his normal routines and not just, you know, add a wife to it, but figure out how to adjust so that those routines were our routines and they worked for both of us, not just him. And for me, it was, you know, figuring out how to have patience with him as he did that, and to seek balance, not just one of us has to completely change, but we both change and meet in the middle and figure out something that works for both of us.
All right. Now, have you experienced much stress in your marriage just because of the circumstances of life?
Yes, we have. We had a couple years that I actually write about in the book where we had a miscarriage, and then we had a job loss, and then we had a big move, and then we had another job loss, and then we had another big move. This was all within, I want to say, a year and a half or 2 years of marriage. There was a lot of financial strain. There was a lot of grief because, you know, whether it was the miscarriage or, you know, job loss, those were losses, and we grieved them.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it was a process of trying to figure out, okay, we have to go through these things, so how can we go through them together? How can we face them in a way that doesn't divide us and push us apart, but rather pulls us together?
Hmm. Have you learned some secrets in terms of how you can learn to root for your spouse?
Well, I think one is that you believe the best of your spouse. You know, when you go into a situation and they do something that frustrates you or annoys you, step back and say, okay, let me think about what their intentions in this particular situation are. Are they intending to offend me, or am I just taking it poorly? So I think really trying to believe the best of your spouse goes a long way. As I mentioned before, having patience with them and realizing, okay, you know, change takes time. Let me give my spouse time if they're actively working towards change. It's a different subject if they're in sin patterns and they don't want to change. That's an entirely different subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those things go far in that respect.
Where do you come up with, or where did you come up with the whole notion of team us? In other words, working as a team as opposed to two singles that are essentially living together, but they're married, but for all practical purposes, they're living single lives under the same roof.
Right. It really goes back to Scripture. As I was writing this book, I went back and I read the opening chapters of Genesis, and I grew up a pastor's daughter, so I know the story of Adam and Eve really well, but it wasn't until I was writing this book that I looked at Adam and Eve with new eyes. I was like, wait a minute, they are the first team. They're the first human team that we see. So as I looked at Adam and Eve, I saw that, you know, God really did design marriage to be this partnership, to be this joint effort where you are united and you are cooperative and you are committed, because you have to have those things to be a winning team. If you look at teams in general, like successful teams, you'll see that they work together and they are for each other. And I think we see that in Adam and Eve before the fall. And I think that even though, you know, sin has complicated that, it's made it harder for couples to be united and to work together, I think that that's still God's intention for us as couples.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not a sports fan at all. But I've heard that the reason the Spurs won recently in basketball versus the Miami Heat is because essentially with the Heat, you have some incredible superstars who individually are among the very best around, but that the Spurs as a unit worked well as a team, and therefore they were able to beat the Miami Heat because of the teamwork versus a few superstars who try to work together.
Right. And I think in marriage, I mean, if you look at how couples face conflict, I know for Ted and I, we have had to learn to face conflict with this team-first perspective, mm-hmm. which is essentially deciding, okay, let's figure out how we can navigate this in a way that benefits the long-term health of our relationship. So I think, you know, teams that work together, like the sports team, if they're working together for the long-term success of the team, then they're not just going to focus on themselves and what they can get out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You have a colleague of sorts, well, in the sense that Shanti Feldhahn, who's a sister in Christ, has written this wonderful mm-hmm. new book about marriage and how the statistics about marriage aren't as bad as we're often led to believe. And she and her co-author, Tally Whitehead, point out often the things that bring down some marriages are the little things, not the big ticket items. It's the little things, the socks strewn around the floor, you know, where right. the person squeezes the toothpaste and so forth. Do you find that too?
I do. And I think that that is one thing that has made a difference in Ted and my relationship. Is that we don't nitpick over the small things. I have heard couples sit there and complain about, well, he leaves his socks on the floor and doesn't pick them up, and that really irritates me, and these tiny things become much bigger issues than they really need to be. And I think if couples are willing to extend grace
yeah.
and overlook those things, they're going to be a lot happier.
Because, sure.
And I think a big thing is looking at yourself and examining, okay, what are my weaknesses? I'm sure that, you know, my husband leaving socks on the floor really bugs me, but I'm sure there's something I do that also bugs him equally as much. So if I realize that, okay, he may feel this way about something I do, I'm more prone to have a little more kindness towards him because I realize that I have my issues too.
I think it's important, too, to be able to talk those things out in a rational and reasonable way I think one of the worst lines I've ever heard in any kind of relationship is, well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Honestly, there may be situations where people don't know, therefore they need to be told. Yeah, this annoys me. You should know that. You know what I mean? It's important to express these things in love and, you know, just get it out there so they understand.
Yeah, and I think a big thing is how you express it.
Yeah, good point.
You know, one thing that Ted and I like to use is the communication sandwich, which is basically, you know, how you would layer your bread and your like ham or your whatever kind of meat you're using in your other piece of bread. You layer your praise and your constructive criticism and then more praise. So you might say, you know, my husband has some time management issues. So I might say to him, you know, I love spending time with you. You know, and I know that, you know.
But do you always have to be late? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know what the issue is.
No, yeah. So basically, you affirm them first. You affirm something they're doing well. Mm-hmm. And then you add in your criticism in a loving way. Mm-hmm. And then you affirm them again. And I think everybody can take criticism a little better if they're also being affirmed.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think communications, especially in a context like marriage, is like a checking account. If you take more money out than you have in, every time you put money in, that's like honest praise, not flattery.
Right.
And every time you criticize, even if it's constructive criticism, it's like taking money out. And unfortunately, many people bounce checks all over the place, you know, with their relationships. We're talking right now with Ashley Slater. She's written a book called Team Us, Life Together. Is there a website for the book?
Yes, marriagetogether.com.
Oh, very good. That's a good website. Very good. Marriagetogether.com. One thing the Book of Proverbs says is that it is very unhealthy. I mean, this is obviously a paraphrase. It is very unhealthy and wrong to repeat a matter. In other words, to keep bringing something up over and over and over. You know, well, I remember that time in, you know, in 1998 when you blah, 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 blah. You know, that kind of thing. What are your comments on that?
I agree. I think that for Ted and I, we have found there's a chapter in my book called A Lighthearted Marriage. And what I mean by a lighthearted marriage is that you both have unburdened hearts, that you are not weighing each other down with grudges and unforgiveness.
Mm.
And when you do have unburdened hearts and you have that lightheartedness to your relationship, one, you're going to enjoy being around each other more. Two, you're also going to, I think, be able to laugh more together, which is an important part, I think, important part of a relationship, especially when you're going through hard times. Laughter really helps. And you're also going to be more vulnerable with each other because you're going to know, okay, I can be who I am with this person, and they're not going to keep this mental list of my failures and my shortcomings and use it against me later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously forgiveness is a huge part of Team Us, you know, Marriage Together.
Right.
How about a comment specifically about forgiveness?
Well, I think that forgiveness is not, my husband likes to say, forgiveness does not make logical sense. Because, you know, someone hurts you and you forgive them and you open yourself up to potentially being hurt again when you let it go. But it's probably the best thing you can do to bring health to your relationship. I remember in our first year of marriage, my husband, I knew he had been engaged once before, before me. And after we got married, he was like, you know, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay, what is it? And he said, you know, I was actually engaged twice before you and I got engaged. But he hadn't told me because he was afraid that that would scare me, that he had had two failed engagements. And I remember really struggling with that and sitting back and going, okay, he led me to believe this, you know, that he'd only been engaged once. Are there other areas that he has not been completely honest with me? And I found myself faced with the decision of, am I going to hold on to this and filter all of our communication and all of our interactions through this one moment of, you know, dishonesty, or am I going to choose to let it go and move on? And it was not easy, but I made the decision that I did not want to live, you know, I didn't want to live out my marriage holding something against my husband. So I chose to let it go, and I have found that that trust that I have, you know, that new trust that I have given him, he has not abused that, which has been good. But so forgiveness, I think we face those decisions constantly in our marriage, mm-hmm. on whether we're going to forgive our spouse or not. And I have personally found that forgiveness breathes life into our relationship.
Yeah, in fact, just recently I was reading Colossians 3, and what a terrific passage about living the Christian life. And, you know, one of those things it says is forgive as you have been forgiven, and above all these traits, put on love, and which binds them all together. And if couples and if individuals could only live that way, we would have, you know, so few divorces compared to what we have today.
Yeah, and I think having a realistic view of ourselves and our own sinfulness makes a big difference. You know, it's easy for us to sit and realize, well, my spouse is not perfect, but and get upset about that. But if we sit back and go, oh, wow, you know what? I'm not perfect either, and look what God has done for me and the grace and forgiveness he's extended to me in my imperfection, then it's a lot harder to withhold that from our spouses when we are just so grateful and thankful for all that God has done for us personally.
All right, now I've got a question for you, and let me set it up this way. My wife and I made a decision before we got married, and that is that we would freely talk about, possibly joke about, divorce before we were married. The subject would come up, we would consider it from different angles, etc. But that after we got married, we wouldn't even joke about it. It's just not part of our vocabulary because it's not an option as Christians. That has right. been a great rule. And in 34 years, by the grace of Jesus Christ, it continues to be a great rule. Are there certain rules you and Ted have made that have helped strengthen your marriage in Christ? And if so, what such rules?
One, we make our decisions, at least we attempt to make our decisions each day with a long-term perspective. What that means is we realize that, you know, the direction of our marriage is not just determined by, ooh, we celebrated our 5-year anniversary or we celebrated our 10-year anniversary, we must be doing well. Instead, those anniversaries are, they're made up by the day-to-day. And so how are our decisions today affecting the direction our marriage is taking? You know, am I picking fights with him today that are, laying the groundwork for resentment and, you know, grudges and bitterness? Or am I extending grace, which is helping us to grow together rather than apart? Another one is we also are very careful about our friendships. We have lots of friends, you know, and Ted has female friends. I have male friends, but when it comes to our confidence, you know, those friends that we keep close, he does not have close female friends, and I don't have close male friends that we run to and we confide in. We found that that's just a safeguard, mm-hmm. to keep us from creating, ties and bonds with other men that could eventually turn my attentions and affections away from him.
Hmm. Yeah, I knew a lady who was very nice, but in her husband, everybody said he was just the nicest guy in the world. And then there was this woman at his workplace who was going through a divorce, and she confided in him. And, you know, next thing you know it, this guy who everybody said was such a nice guy, he ran off and left, the wife of his youth and the children, and I guess married the other gal. But it was because they confided in each other. It was almost like, you know, this lady needed a shoulder to cry on, and this nice, nice guy let himself do that. And then next thing you know it, he developed a type of emotional bond with the woman and left his wife.
Yeah, tragic. We have seen a lot of times it's when you don't think it could happen to you that you really open yourself up to it. If you think, oh, that would never happen to us.
Yeah.
So Ted and I really think, you know what? Those things could happen to us. And so that's why we are going to be very proactive in making sure that they don't.
Yeah. All right. What about habits? Obviously, we bring, to the marriage when you come and you get married at whatever age you happen to be. you have lots of habits. In your husband's case, he was in his mid-30s, so he obviously had, you know, different habits that perhaps would work against marriage as a team. Your comment about habits.
Yes, that is where I think patience and persistence comes in. When I say patience, that means that, you know, as an individual, you have patience for your spouse as they're trying to change those habits. I mean, a big thing is they need, you know, that they realize there are habits that need to change.
Such as?
Such as, like I mentioned, my husband had time management issues. He was, when we got married, he had a very flexible work schedule. So he could sleep until 9 and get to work at 10 and then work until 8 or 9 at night, and nobody cared. And when he was single, that wasn't an issue. I mean, there was nothing innately wrong with that. But once we got married, and here my work schedule was, I would go in at like 6 or 7 and be home by 3, and I really hoped we would have dinner together, you know, at like a reasonable hour.
Be like ships in the night, you know?
Yeah, and that was not his norm. And so we discussed it, but the change was not immediate. He didn't immediately start getting up early and getting home at a good hour. It took time, and I had the decision, okay, am I going to be patient with him as I see him trying to change, you know, but hitting bumps and, you know, having days where he's not doing as well at it. But I do see that he genuinely is trying to work toward that. I can either have patience with him, or I can make it worse by, you know, badgering him and nitpicking and nagging. And so I chose to have patience. And it's been a process. I mean, it took us probably years to get to a point where we found a good balance of, you know, eating dinner. And it's been seasons. Some seasons we go back into poor habits with time management, and then we have to work at it again. So there's the patience. And then the persistence comes in, like in this instance for Ted, being persistent about continually trying to change. And when he finds himself slipping back into that old pattern, going, oh, wait a minute, I need to continue to work to do better at this so that the way I'm managing my time is helpful to my marriage, and making you know, and that it makes sure that we get time together.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let me ask you this. This is obviously a very tough economy. People are, you know, not doing very well. The median income of Americans has fallen, and it's almost as if this is becoming the new norm in America. Surely that puts a strain on marital relationships today.
Yeah, well, finances can be a big strain. When we went through the multiple layoffs, that was difficult for us. I mean, we found ourselves going, you know, through our retirement funds through money that parents had given us, and going, okay, what do we do now? And I think a big thing, at least that I found for us, is not blaming each other, not pointing fingers and saying, you know what, we would be making more money if you did this or if you didn't spend that. I mean, yes, you should talk about those things, but as we talked about earlier, you know, do it in a way that is gentle and benefits the relationship. So I think a big thing is uniting together and not letting, you know, finances divide you.
Mm-hmm. I do think that it is important for all Christians to practice at least tithing. In other words, at least giving 10% of their income. And I have found that God does provide. Now, he doesn't necessarily always provide it financially the same way, but he always will take care of your needs. But the minimum should be 10%, even during difficult times. And it takes the rub off of the financial strains and financial difficulties. Have you found the same thing?
Well, I think it keeps your eyes focused on what's important when you're still giving to God. It reminds you that he is taking care of you. You can trust him to take care of you.
Yeah.
Even when your finances are not what you wish they would be.
Yeah.
And you're still contributing to him and to, you know, the work of your local church.
You and your husband have been involved in ministry, so you know what it's like to essentially do without or whatever, be financially, be on the lower end of things. But I've been involved in ministry all these years, and my wife has been very supportive of that. And when we look back, if you looked at our lifestyle, you'd think that, you know, we have or we make more money than we really do, but it's because God in his generosity and provision is providing for us. So I'm just so grateful. Now, you say that in your book, again, the book is called Team Us, Marriage Together. The website is marriagetogether.com. Our guest is Ashley Slater. And we're almost finished. We only have a few minutes left here. But you talk about, in the book, conflict can be an adventure, or think of conflict as an adventure. Tell us about that.
Yes. See, when we first got married, I hated conflict. So this has been a journey for me to come to a place where I can view conflict as an adventure. And what I mean by that is, like, I have never been whitewater rafting, but from what I understand, it takes teamwork for the people in the raft.
Oh, we're back to teamwork. Yeah.
Yeah. Navigate safely through the turbulent waters. And once that raft is back on land, you know, its passengers, they're stronger for having conquered those rapids together. And I think the same is true in marriage. You know, when Ted and I navigate conflict together with the goal of coming out stronger as a team, yeah, it becomes an adventure. You know, it's a feat we can face and conquer together, you know, side by side and not back to back. And so I think it's all about how you view adventure. I mean, not adventure, conflict. It's how you view conflict. And if you view it as an adventure, it is not as much of a threat to your personal comfort.
Okay, give us an example in your own marriage.
Well, Ted and I, when we were engaged, he actually intervened in a work situation for me without asking me, and he did not work at the same place that I did. And so we found ourselves in conflict over that.
He intervened in a workplace situation. Can you be a little bit more specific?
Yes. He worked at a company and he did a lot of graphic design. And I worked at a company and I was producing a video project, and I asked for his opinion on the cover for the video project, and he did not like the choice of apostrophe that our in-house designer had chosen. And so I asked the in-house designer, I said, can you change this apostrophe? And I was told no. And Ted did not like that answer. So he decided to email the guy directly and basically tell him he should make the change, which left me feeling very threatened in my job, because it did not go over well. So I was concerned that I might lose my job over him intervening on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having a huge conflict over that, which I did not handle well. And I can now look back and go, you know what? If I had approached this situation as something that we could navigate together and figure out, okay, what were your intentions, and assume the best of him, then it would have been a much more pleasant experience than it was.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let me ask you this. Here you are. Since that time, you have not only had 11 and a half years of marriage, but you've published a book. Congratulations. I mean, you know, only a very small percentage of the total population can claim that. A book from a standard publisher, I mean, Moody Press, that's terrific. And then in the meantime, you've done other writings. Grammatically, who is correct, Ted or the designer? As far as the apostrophe?
I think Ted was correct, and it came down to font choice. I still don't know the difference between, like, serif and sans serif, but apparently with one of them you have a curly apostrophe and the other one you have a straight apostrophe. And looking back, I see that, yeah, you know, Ted's apostrophe choice definitely looked better than the in-house designer's, although it went to press with the in-house designer's apostrophe.
I see. So, in other words, it was just even a design issue. It wasn't even a grammatical issue in that sense.
Yes, exactly.
Very interesting. But the bottom line is, whatever conflicts come our way, we need to try and think about them as a team and not allow those conflicts to cause this team to fall apart. Again, we've been talking with Ashley Slater. The name of her book is Team Us, Marriage Together. For more information, marriagetogether.com. Thank you, Ashley, for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.